that's pretty much pie in the sky. If you have that type of feeling still, you are not ready to pursue a case through the court system, because you're going to have to be tough. It was some of my darkest days in pursuing a case through the criminal justice system. At every turn, you're met with a closed door. I had the DA said to me at one point, "We cannot prosecute your case because you are mentally ill. You have MPD, so you're mentally ill." Guess what, folks? You're going to have to educate your police officer. You're going to have to educate the prosecutor. Somebody's going to have to educate the jurors. Can't be you, the victim, but somebody needs to. This is what you're going to be up against. He tells me, "We can't pursue your case. You're mentally ill." Well, gee, guess what? Nobody has ever adjudicated me mentally ill. Make sure. Have they ever been adjudicated so? The only person who can adjudicate you mentally ill is the judge. It is a proceeding in the judicial system that has to occur. They can't just arbitrarily say, I've looked up in American Psychological Association, or DSM-4 or 3 or whatever, and say that they're mentally ill.
Does it have to be a forensic psychiatrist? They have to produce, what level of documentation do they have to that you are mentally ill?
Well, since I wasn't mentally ill, there was no need to obtain a forensic psychiatrist. If you were being adjudicated mentally ill, there would have to be a proceeding, and they may or may not use a forensic psychiatrist. They may use John Doe psychologists. They could use X, Y, and Z that was hired by the judicial system to do assessments to determine whether you're mentally ill or not. But it was very clear that I was not mentally ill. Had never been adjudicated so. I was working. I was going to school. I could drive a car. Have never been arrested for any kind of criminal activity. Been in a psychiatric unit 4 times. Never longer than a week at a time. First time, age 19, suicide attempt. My parents had every intention of just abandoning me in the hospital at age 19, but two of my friends came and got me out of the hospital and had me live with them. Go forward in my life, and after that hospitalization, I moved 13 times in a 2-year period in an effort to stay ahead of my perpetrator. Every time I moved, perpetrator found me, reoffense. About 1973, the perpetrator moved to Columbus, Ohio. So I was not in regular contact. By this time I was finishing high school. As soon as I turned 18, I left home. That does not stop the perpetrator because you leave home. What are the pros and cons of pursuing prosecution? The pros are self-empowerment. The pro is not carrying the secret around with you any longer. The pro is saying, and I try to reframe every time that I can, I don't say that I'm a victim of child abuse. I say I'm a crime victim. I do not differentiate that it is X, Y, and Z crime. I'm a crime victim. Don't give someone the chance to define your reality. I also felt that by pursuing a prosecution that I would protect other children. When I got the information that he was still offending, it gave me great pleasure I'll have to use the word pleasure, to know that I would be instrumental in protecting a child like me, who at one time no one was going to help. And when you're going back to get that collaborative information, you go back to your childhood friends. Lo and behold, I found out. I had told lots of people. I had told lots of childhood friends about what was going on. But 35 years ago, in Kentucky, there was no such thing as Child Protective Services. Who would you have reported it to? The police? Gee. You could knock the hell out of your wife. They didn't do anything about that. Do you think they'd do anything about knocking the hell out of your child or raping your child? Did they do anything about spousal rape? You could rape your wife all you wanted to. They wouldn't have done anything. Numerous people reported, they remember seeing me covered from head to toe with bruises. Going back in that collaborative record, those school records, lo and behold, I had speech therapy in the fifth grade. Both me and my sister, we couldn't talk correctly. Stuttered, couldn't pronounce words correctly. Developmental skills, some of those were missing. What are the cons in doing this? Well, the biggest con, in my opinion, is your loss of privacy. When you pursue either a criminal case or a civil case, be prepared. Your life will change because you will never again have a private life. When you pursue anything through the criminal justice system, it is public record. That means anyone can go down and request that. Any newspaper, any TV station, your Uncle Joe, who's one of your perpetrators that you have not yet filed charges against, a member of the X, Y, and Z backlash group, anyone can then access these public records about you. What does this mean? Well, tell you the truth, as far as that con goes about losing your privacy, I don't think it's so awfully bad to the degree where I can say, you want to know anything about me? Go look it up at the courthouse. You want to know who I am? Go on down. Pay your $6 and get the record. Make them work for a change. Expect to lose friends. Expect those family members who are not supportive of you to abandon you. Expect family members that were supportive of you before you filed charges to now abandon you. It's going to happen. I've had one friend, and this happened this past year, that I've known for 20 years, and I thought this person was pretty supportive, that she'd asked me to come over to her house. I went over there, and she was having some problems with a neighbor who was basically a very ill person who was harassing her to some degree, and started asking me, well, what could be done about this? And I say, well, gee, here's what I know as a social worker. Here's how the system works. Well, what's wrong with her? And I said, well, I don't know, or, you know, she said, well, I thought you would know because of your mental illness. And I said, well, I'm not mentally ill. And she says, well, I meant your condition. I said, I don't have a condition. I'm a crime victim. Try to use that to reframe these negative views from people. Crime victim. We don't say to the crime victim who is held up at gunpoint, kidnapped in a carjacking, we don't call them a carjacking victim who is traumatized and who is dissociative and has to go into the psych unit and now they're mentally ill. We don't do that to most crime victims. But when it comes to sexual crimes. We reframe sexual crimes into the area of mental illness. Gee, if you were raped, and especially if you were raped by a first-degree relative, you couldn't possibly be normal. Well, guess what? We're normal. The people abnormal are the perpetrators. But because of society's fear of perpetrators, they project that view onto the victim so that you become more feared than the perpetrator. Example, the prosecutor in the locale that was assigned to my case was so frightened when I came to his office that he had the door blocked open with some bricks. I don't know what he thought was going to happen. I think his view was of a multiple was that my head was going to spin and I would spew green vomit. And, of course, I would kill. Be prepared. If you are a victim or if you know of a victim that is approaching the criminal justice system and they say, oh, we are going to sign you a victim's advocate. That victim's advocate may or may not be an advocate. Typically, victims' advocates are assigned, are paid through the district attorney's office. The victim's advocate for you is not going to bite the hand that feeds them. Prosecutor says, hey, I don't think I want this case. Why don't you get lost? Prosecutor often uses the victim's advocate as the gopher to keep the victim away from the prosecutor so that the prosecutor doesn't have to deal with the victim. So what did I do to handle that? I strongly, strongly advise this. If at all possible, if you have access to resources, hire your own attorney. I was so fortunate and so lucky to have an attorney represent me pro bono. Her job was to watchdog the system. Now, mindful, when I have my own attorney, or when any of you get your own attorney, this attorney can't represent you in the court. The only person that does that is the prosecutor. But prosecutors are attorneys too, and they don't like other attorneys watching other attorneys and watching exactly what they're doing. So that puts a lot of pressure on the prosecutor and the system. You better do this case right. You better follow all legal procedures. You better not screw my client. I strongly advise any victim going through the criminal justice system to do this. Oh, geez. You know, that old police detective wants to know everything. And guess what? There are lots of times when I didn't want to tell the police detective anything. So I didn't tell him anything. But other parts of me sure did go down there and tell him a whole bunch of stuff. Here's one way that some parts tell. They draw pictures and they write it out. What happened? What can you remember? Well, gee, I don't remember a whole lot, but maybe this person does. You're going to have to educate your police detective as to what traumatic memory is. Probably a good book to start with would be Charles Whitfield's book would be excellent to use. What is traumatic memory? Educate, educate, educate. The guilt, the question that all victims want to know, why? You're never going to answer that. Don't expect your police detective to answer that. Don't expect the prosecutor to answer that. There is no answer. Gee, what did he do to you? There's an example. of something he did. And it's kind of interesting. This pictorial, I just recently, you know, it takes, you can go years and not recognizing correlations. Well, over the years, my perpetrator sent messages to me. There's various ways of telling you to shut up. And you all are welcome to look at this close up, but here's a Christmas card that my perpetrator sent to me after he called me up on the telephone, 1978, told me to go to the airport. He would have a ticket waiting for me. I flew to New York City, stayed at the Hotel Lexington. He sent me where I was re-abused, and he sent me this Christmas card. Here's a picture of me being chained and a whip. Does that call a cat's tail whip? Or whip. Here's the Christmas card he sent me. It's a picture of Santa Claus in his long johns holding a whip, I guess for Rudolph and the rest of the reindeer. And it says here, when the holiday hustle and bustle has passed, hope all of your jolly old memories will last. And he inserts, New York memories will last. Here's another card. Santa Claus, he's holding a book hovering over the children. It says, good boys and girls. These are all Norman Rockwell. May the wonder and magic of Christmas fill your heart with joy. Love, Dad, Stockholm, Sweden, 1980. Here's one from France. Wish you were here. Etc., etc., etc. These are some of the pieces that you take with you. If you can, if at all possible, start organizing a book, anything like this you come across, old cards that can establish a timeline, any pictures that you have, put together a book if you can before you go forward, because, you know, a lot of people go, gee, man, I don't have to do too much work here. They've done it all for me. You know, I won't have to do too much, run around and get all these records and stuff. They've got it. They're more likely to take your case. They're more likely to do something with your case. But still, even then, expect, especially in a ritual abuse case, expect there to be tremendous adverse Let's just face it, there's a lot of people out there that don't want you to go forward with your case. And you are going to have to be your own best advocate. And you are going to have to turn in to an assertive, insistent, aggressive even, advocate for yourself. Nobody else will do this for you. The local DA didn't want to do anything with my case. You know, they think I'm this mentally ill nut. But, you know, I've educated them to that fact that I'm not a mentally ill nut. So I decide I'll go get the Victims Advocate Division from the Attorney General's office. I'm rattling cages. I'm insisting that someone do something with my case. If I've called the DA's office once, I've called it 50 times this month. Have I called my detective weekly? You betcha. If I haven't called, parts of me have called. Somebody's called. My support group, they write a letter on my behalf. They insist that the DA go forward with my case. Start your own letter writing campaign. Contact your representative. And, you know, somebody says, well, gee, they may be one of the enemy. They may be part of it. Well, you know, in this game, it's a crapshoot. You may not be able to trust any of them, but you may be able to trust some of them. It is a crapshoot, and you go for it. If this is what you want to do, you keep on, and you don't give up. It will be your darkest day in pursuing this case, but do not give up. Gee, what happened? Here's some things that happened. But do you think the police detective looked at this and says, gee, I'm going to go tell the prosecutor that this kind of stuff happened to her? Are you kidding? No way. They're going to discard you. Yes, you've been ritually abused. Yes, you've been tortured. Yes, some horrible things have happened. But go for what you can get them on. First degree rape is prosecutable. They're not interested in this type of criminal activity that took place. It's enough to say, he raped me on the sofa in 1964 with Rocky the Flying Squirrel flying higher than my mind. Well, I'd like to free up some time now for you all to ask me some questions. I'd be happy to answer any question that you might have. If you know of someone who wants to pursue a case, I have cards. Feel free to call me. I will give you as much input as I can, but be mindful. No one is ever a substitute for your own attorney. For those persons out there that cannot afford an attorney to help them get through the system, other survivors may be the only advocates that you have that it can impart information to you. Because believe me, no one else will. If the victims don't tell you how to do this, no victim's advocate's going to tell you how to get through the criminal justice system. No police detective's going to tell you what to do. I had a police detective that was fairly unusual. At one point he says, look, they're messing with you. So go on down to the warrant desk and file a warrant. Guess what, folks? The DA or the police is not the only person that can bring a case against a perpetrator. You, U.S. American citizen, have the right under the U.S. Constitution to go down and file a warrant yourself. With evidence in hand, you have the absolute right to file a warrant yourself. What that does is force a prosecutor to appoint someone to look at the case. Gee. To at least look at it. They can still deny, they can still just pass it under the rug. Doesn't mean that they're going to do anything, but they have to look at it. So we file the warrant. Prosecutor gets a case. Prosecutor doesn't want to deal with the case. I'm going all over the place, making a lot of noise. You're going to go forward with this case. I insist on it. And this is why I insist on it. Still nothing happens. I go to the AG's victim advocacy. That's the Attorney General's victim advocacy program. Most states have a Attorney General Victim Advocates program. I go there. They sent a contingent up to Louisville to say, hey, gee, what's going on with this case? You don't want to prosecute it? Guess what? We're going to take jurisdiction of your case. So there ensues a war between the Attorney General and the local prosecutors for jurisdiction of the case. Still, nothing happens with the case. So I pull out. Now, this is a real crapshoot. I call and basically tell the Commonwealth's attorney, the local DA, if you don't forward my case to the Attorney General's office, I have 5 newspaper reporters lined up ready to go. Could this be interpreted as blackmail? I don't know. No one ever charged me with blackmail, mainly because it was the truth. Always have your media ace ready to play. And that means be talking behind the scenes to someone who believes in your case, someone in the media, someone who's willing to advocate for you in a public way. You have to be prepared for this. Your case may end up on the 5 o'clock news. Artifacts? Here's an artifact. Had that since I was a teenager. How do you know? My sister's willing to testify to that. Who questions my sister? My police detective. How long has she had this thing? She tells him. My sister, a witness, she allows herself to be wired for sound, and that means police detective does a wiretap with my sister confronting my father, the perpetrator, with abuse. This is done for a couple of reasons. You might think, well, it's to gather evidence for your case. Not necessarily so, because that may or may not be admissible in court. It could be done for a number of reasons. The detective is not quite sure about your case, and they want to get some information for their own self. Or the police detective may be harassed by his superiors, who are saying, why are you pursuing this case? There's nothing to this. So he's done this wiretap to get the information to show his superiors that he's on target. And in the way of educating, I put together books like this of newspaper clippings that I had clipped out since about 1986. Hey, you does this stuff happen by prominent people? Don't believe what I say. Here's what the paper says. Here's what all these cases say. Here's the evidence. Let it explain it for you. I'm not the only one this has happened to. There are many, many cases. It's just that very few cases ever get to the criminal justice system because statute of limitations in that state do not allow a person to pursue a criminal case. So they go to the civil court. Well, you may not be able to get through that way either. Some states have passed delayed discovery rulings, which an example of this is a victim goes to therapy and starts remembering their abuse, and they have some details, and they're sure about what happened, who, what, when, where, how, and why. The delayed statute starts beginning from the day you remember your abuse. In some states, it's varying years, but say if it's 3 years, you've got 3 years after the date you first remember, not 3 years after the date you become empowered, but 3 years after you remember your abuse. Can you get in enough therapy? Can you get empowered enough? Can you gather enough support to make it under that statute of limitations in order to pursue a civil case? It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to do that. Come on, listen
to my song. We've been listening to a presentation by Jeanette Westbrook on prosecuting perpetrators of abuse, and this broadcast is not to be taken as encouragement to pursue legal cases such as these involving recovered memories of abuse, as these are extremely difficult to go through. But it's interesting to hear what is needed to prepare if one was to take this forward. Jeanette's case didn't actually go to trial, as her father suddenly died just before being extradited to face charges. Stay tuned next week as we'll continue with part two of this presentation and an interview with Jeanette Westbrook on CKLN, the International Connection, 88.1.
Rajah City.